Weihnachten kommt immer näher und ich habe keine Ahnung, was ich schenken soll. Tante Hedwig will sicher wieder was Handgemachtes, meine Mutter was Persönliches.
Ach komm, Schatz. Schenk doch einfach, worüber sich wirklich jeder freut. Glück!
Mit den Losen und Lotterien von Lotto Bayern. Das Jahreslos der Glücksspirale. Geschenkkarten mit Rubbel oder Aufreißlosen und die Bayern-Millionen. Nur in deiner Lotto-Annahmestelle. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bjuk.de.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: Startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Happy Birthday to you. Happy Birthday to you. Happy Birthday. Happy Birthday to you. Happy Birthday to you. Happy Birthday. That is something random. Woo woo. 30-40 thriving. Woo. How lucky are we? Life is such a gift. Happy birthday. I mean it, girl.
And I'm feeling gifted.
Good.
All right.
Happy birthday. Clap.
Thank you.
Recovering Gleek presents.
Slay! A queer Buffy podcast.
Hello, everyone.
I'm Lena.
And I'm Ian.
And this is
Slay,
a queer Buffy podcast. It's not my birthday. It's Ian's. Woohoo! Tomorrow is his birthday.
We are recording this truly so far in advance.
Yeah.
And we were just chatting. We were doing the Patreon pre-show, and I just offhandedly was like, you know what's so funny is by the time this releases, the stuff we're talking about will be so far in the past. And then I looked at my calendar to see when this was releasing, the day before my 30th birthday. So that was a jarring shock to my system.
Yeah.
It really, I'm coming to terms with my mortality. I'm looking Father Time in the face and I'm saying, step off, back up, sir.
Shout out to girls who cry on their birthday. Do you cry on your birthday?
I have a really complicated relationship with my birthday because I don't want to get my expectations too high. Like, I don't... Well, okay, we're going to backtrack. Here's the dilemma I have on my birthday. I don't want to feel like a burden to people. I don't want to feel like you need to drop everything and do something crazy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if my birthday goes by and it's not acknowledged, I will cry for the rest of the year. So I always am looking for a middle ground where it's like, what's a way that we can acknowledge that it's my birthday?
Yes.
I can feel special, but I don't feel guilty that I'm like forcing everyone to give up their lives for me today.
Yeah, I totally hear you.
Yeah.
I think especially the older you get, the more it's like, oh shit, birthdays are on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm. Like people have
all
jobs.
My friends. Yeah, yeah, seriously. And I get that feeling. I totally do.
I like to do I honestly, recently, I've like lucked out that I've just had really fantastic birthdays. There was like the year we met the cast of Survivor on accident.
Oh, such a good birthday.
And then last year I was in Honduras for work and we like, me and some coworkers went kayaking and stumbled upon this hidden beach that no one else was on and just like spent the birthday alone on the beach. I've had some really cool stuff. So we'll see if 30 can compare to friggin' 28 and 29, but...
Hell, this is more than a month away.
I know. So I have time to plan it.
Yeah.
And I do have an idea in mind of what I'm going to do for my 30th.
Okay.
But what I like to do normally is like, you know, like I'll go to Sheep's Meadow and it's like, hey, I'm going to be in Sheep's Meadow from like this time to this time. You're all invited. Stop by when you can. I would just like to see whoever is available. And that way, I get to see friends, I get to feel special, but I'm not saying, like, clear your schedules. It's just, like, if you have, like, 15 minutes to stop by Central Park and say, what's up?
Yeah.
Then I will feel like my 30 years on Earth meant something.
Yeah, I hear you. Isn't that so funny? It's such a funny feeling to, I don't want to tell, even like just telling someone it's your birthday is like so, I'm not embarrassed by that anymore. I love to say, it's my birthday. I say that to everybody. But like, it does feel embarrassing to like say it's my birthday. Yes. But then if someone doesn't acknowledge it, it's like, what the fuck? How rude are you?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the same thing is I hate nothing more than talking to someone and then finding out later that it's their birthday.
It's their birthday.
And I'm like, well, now I'm being sent to hell.
Honestly, I've heard you talk in the past that you like check Facebook nearly every morning to like check birthdays. I don't know if you do that anymore.
But there was probably a solid year of my life where I went on Facebook every day. And this is, you know, long after the fall of Facebook. But I went on it every day simply to check whose birthday it was. And then I would get off.
Yeah.
Just to be prepped and ready so that I didn't have that experience again.
I hear you. I totally do.
Ugh. But here we are, 30
Happy
years
birthday.
Old.
I know, that's awesome.
It's just, you know.
I hear you.
I like my life. It's not what I thought it would be.
Yeah, I hear you.
I have not accomplished what I had imagined I would have accomplished by this age. And that is very, and I do think that's like, I'm not special for feeling that way. I think that's like a pretty human experience with aging.
But I think a majority of the people you would ask that question would feel the same way.
I know. There's a reason that people turn 40 and have a midlife crisis.
Of course.
But yeah, it's just crazy. I don't know. I have this thing. Not to turn this into like Ian's therapy hour. I like the way that, like, I like my life. However, the way that I'm living is in hopes that I will achieve something. And I don't know why I'm beating around the bush as if this is a secret. Hi, everyone. If you're like new to this podcast and you just joined for Buffy, I'm an actor. I'm a performer. So I'm constantly like auditioning and trying to get jobs that way. And as everyone knows, that means that I'm not making a lot of money. I'm doing a lot of gig work. I'm doing a lot of like living paycheck to paycheck. And so I like my life, but also like I don't want to be living with four other people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be constantly leaving home and going to different places and like living out of suitcases all the time. And I'm cool to be doing these things because like this is what you have to do, but it's what you have to do in hopes that you will network enough, you will work enough, you will get enough buzz going that you can start having stable jobs that are paying better. And literally every year it happens around New Year's that I'm like, and I am in the exact same place I was a year ago. And I'm continuing to live as if I was 22 years old, and yet I am now 30 years old. Oh, mama. It's, in the words of Olivia Rodrigo, God, it's brutal out here, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, that being said, I have a good life, and I have a good time, and I do fun things.
Yeah.
And these gigs that I do are really exciting, and I get to travel to new exciting places and meet new exciting people and have experiences. So you can't have it all. You just have to pick your poison. And I picked an interesting and differing life over stability. And I've made that bed. I need to lie in it.
I hear you.
Welcome to our podcast.
I understand where you're coming from, especially from a money standpoint, and I can't speak to, you know, what you experienced that way, but I can tell you that, you know, you have accomplished so much and you do so many awesome, amazing things, and I am really proud of you for what you have done, and I do think that, I think, you know, shit is happening for you. I see it, and I see how hard you work, and I see, you know, I just like, I don't think that this hard work you're doing is like going unnoticed. And I don't think it's for naught. I think you're doing great stuff and great stuff is on the way for you.
Thanks, babe. That's the other thing is it's like, I like the stuff that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like I'm having a good time.
Instagram looks like you're very, very, very living it up.
And I mean, obviously everyone's Instagram is a lie, but I also, it's less that the things I'm posting that I'm having fun aren't fun. It's more that I'm just not posting about the stuff that isn't fun. But like when I'm posting about something that's fun, it genuinely is fun. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's just comparison is the thief of joy, that old adage. Oh my God. I like literally the other day was talking to this guy and he is an attorney, you know, like has his own place, a lovely apartment, et cetera, et cetera. And then he asked what I do for work. And I was so embarrassed to be like, I'm a struggling performer and I live with four people. But I told him and he straight up was like, why were you embarrassed to tell me that?
Yeah.
And I did say, I was like, I just like, it feels insane that I am at this point in my life and I'm still like living like this and, you know, struggling. And he straight up, he was like, I hate my job so much.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the courage to like find what I was passionate about and go after it. So I think it's really cool. And that's the thing. It's like people, I am so envious of people that have that stability. And then people who have stability are so envious of people who are like living a maybe quote unquote more exciting life. And it's, we all want what everyone else has.
Of course. And you know, the grass is always greener. Mm-hmm. I totally, yeah.
Hey. And hey, but hey, this release is in over a month, so maybe by then,
yeah,
I'll have been discovered.
I think so.
I'll be Scrooge McDucking in a pool full of golden coins.
Oh, I cannot wait.
It'll be incredible. Wow.
You'll be the one with your own apartment, hating your job.
Well, Lena, how are you?
I'm good.
Heck yeah.
How am I in a month? I'm really good.
Heck yeah. You're also Scrooge McDucking in a pool of gold coins. Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. Oh my God. God, heaven even knows. Life, I mean, in the states where we live, changes so much day to day. I literally even hesitate to say anything.
That is, yeah. That's majorly true. I have truly had my life go from a living nightmare to all my dreams coming true and vice versa in a matter of 24 hours.
Isn't that so funny? Like, life can really change like that.
Yeah.
I have had such every single day I wake up and I'm like, girl, something has got to give. Something has got to give.
Yes.
How much suffering must I face? Girl, I don't know.
I also, not to talk about the economic and political state of the world right now, but I also, every time I go to the grocery store now, I'm like, and is this the last day I'll be able to afford groceries?
No, seriously.
Oh my gosh, but we don't need to talk about that. We're here to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I'm turning 30, the world is on fire, and we're going to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Here we go. Booyah. Oh my gosh, also happy Gemini season. It's May 21st. Happy Gemini season.
Oh my gosh, Gemini season.
Gemini season, two-faced. Okay.
You said it.
So we're here to talk about The Vavitch by Robert Eggers. Our favorite episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Wouldn't you like to live deliciously?
Wouldn't you? Amy Madison went to Buffy and she said, wouldn't you like to live deliciously? I have some slacks.
Oh yeah, it's time for the slacks.
I have to warn you, they are few and far between. They're not very interesting. I even went to multiple sources. I went to Buffy Wiki. I went to Buffy Wiki and I was like, this is not enough. And I started scouring other sources. Here's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, when Glee was airing, the internet was up and thriving. People were commenting. People were posting all of, like, posting behind the scenes information. 1997, everyone didn't have a computer in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not about to go find a 30-year-old copy of Teen Beat magazine to know about this episode, so
I might.
We're working with what we have. Mm-hmm. I will say, I noticed today that Buffy Wiki has a kill count on it.
I saw that too.
So we are able to fact check ourselves, and we have so far been correct, but we don't have to do this whole like, oh, I don't know how many kills. It's fully already, someone has done that work for us.
Yeah, I think we should, like, at least.
No, I think we should try ourselves and then fact check it. Because yes, I agree. All right, that being said, the Vavitch, everyone came out alive. Shout out. Yeah. Everyone's alive.
Well, that's true.
Catherine, she
I
might
was confused
be
about
trapped, but she ain't dead. She's, Mama's still, her heart's still beating.
I am barely breathing. I can't find the air. I don't know who I'm kidding. Imagining you care.
That's her in the cheerleading statue. Okay, exactly. So the Vavitch is episode 3 of Buffy, both of season 1 and overall. It was written by Dana Reston. It is the only episode of Buffy that she ever wrote. But she wrote for other TV shows, mainly for The Nanny Named Fran. Me and my sister had a summer when we were like probably 8 and 10 years old, respectively, where we were obsessed with The Nanny. No. We watched it every day.
Oh, my God. Mr. Sheffield, I love that show.
My sister and I, me little 8-year-old, is spending my summer vacation watching reruns of The Nanny and Golden Girls. And my parents really were like, look at our heterosexual son that we're raising.
You think they didn't know?
I know for a fact they didn't know.
Okay.
No, it's not.
You talked to him about it.
I mean, this is a conversation that maybe needs to happen off mic just for my family's.
That's okay.
But yeah, it was not a situation where I came out and it was like, we've always known at all. Anyway, I love you, Eileen and Ted. They're the best. Okay. We're going to call her. Lena wants me to call Eileen and have her tell the story of the day I was born.
I love hearing birth stories. That's like my favorite part of any birthday is asking their birth story. Do you know yours?
The problem is we used to do it for everyone's birthday, so I get the wires crossed. I keep being like, is that me or is that one of my siblings? However,
and that's why we need Eileen on the phone.
A through line of all of our birth stories is my mom's reproductive system don't mess around. When it says the baby is ready, the baby is ready.
Whoa.
So like the constant theme is her getting to the hospital and being like, I'm in labor. I need an epidural now. And the doctor being like, you still have a few hours. And she's like, no, you don't understand. And then the doctor coming in and being like, you're too far along. We can't give you an epidural. And she's like, what did I literally say when I came in here?
She's like, this is my fourth time around. I think I know my body more than you do, genius.
Yeah, that's a constant theme. Okay, Eileen has been texted. We'll see what she says.
Yes, please, Eileen.
All right, back to Slacks. The Vavitch was directed by Robert Eggers. But The Witch, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode, was directed by Stephen Cragg. Shout out. And it aired on March 17th, 1997. Here's some fun facts. They're very, very minor, as I've already warned you. This episode is the first appearance of Amy Madison. Shout out to our girl. Played by Elizabeth Ann Allen, who you may remember auditioned for the role of Buffy. Other Buffy auditioners, Charisma Carpenter, who's playing Cordelia, and Mercedes McNabb, who played Harmony last episode. And then we'll see a few more in the future, I think.
I love that.
I think it's very cool. I like that.
You're not right for this role, but we're a big show. Come on back later.
I agree. I really like that. Charisma Carpenter already had cheerleading experience because she was a cheerleader for the San Diego Chargers in 1991.
Oh my God, the Chargers.
Right?
That's like a big team.
And I believe you, and I'd take your word for it.
I don't know. I literally am like, Dodge Charger. I think that's a car.
That's certainly a car.
I don't know. I like basketball.
I literally couldn't even tell you. I couldn't tell you what sport the San Diego Chargers play. I assume football, but I don't actually know. And then our final slack of the episode is...
It's a football team.
Oh,
it's
hell
NFL.
Yeah. And no one can say I'm not a jock. And my final slacked is, in the German language version of this episode, the lines, her mom is a real Nazi Heil, were replaced with, her mom is a real superwoman, something like that.
Okay, yeah.
And
I hear that.
And hey, that's it. I'm so sorry they... Not a lot of exciting stuff to report.
The IMDb message boards weren't as active as they are.
Well, damn. Also, I don't know if you know this. I remember when this happened, I was traumatized. The IMDb message boards don't exist anymore. They wiped them from the internet.
That's so fucked up.
That is years of my life. When I was watching Buffy the first time, I was on those message boards.
Yeah.
I was reading people's thoughts.
Damn, I'm so sorry.
They're gone now, and they're gone forever.
Ugh.
Shoot.
Now you'll have to, like, troll Reddit.
Blech. No, not to go on, like, r/Buffy, girl. I do love Reddit.
People
and that's
do love
why
Reddit.
I love Reddit.
You do?
Yes.
I'm on it. I don't know how Reddit... I genuinely do not know how Reddit works.
I'm on Reddit every day.
Really? What are you looking... Are you looking at, like, r/Survivor?
Yeah,
are you looking at, like...
Yeah, we're at r/Survivor. We're at r/Glee. We are at... I'm just going to open Reddit and I'll tell you, like, what... Oh, we're on r/Broadway, of course. Of course we are.
Are you looking at, like, am I the asshole?
No.
Am I the devil?
I'm on Reddit for it to be...
fan experience.
The global water cooler, where we're all talking about what we just watched on TV. r/Scream, r/RuPaul's Drag Race, r/Severance Apple TV+, r/Marvel Studios, r/Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Love.
These are r/Los Culturistas, r/... And this one's a banger. Eosinophilic esophagitis, which is a medical condition that I have.
Snap. Love it.
Sometimes I gotta know if my symptoms are because of that or because of another mysterious illness.
Yeah.
r/IBS. And hell yeah. And hell yeah. Don't go talking smack on Reddit to my face. I know that there is evil out there.
I know that
there is evil on that website. But there's also goodness, and there's also joy, and there's also empathy and humanity.
I love that.
Thank you.
Of course.
Your slacks.
I love it. And shout out to Reddit.
And shout out to Reddit.
Do you want a recap?
I would love a recap.
I'll give it to you. Previously on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's cheerleading tryout week, and Buffy can't resist but throw her pom-poms in the ring. Plus, it might keep her out of trouble. But weird stuff keeps happening. Girls are spontaneously combusting, losing their vision. One of their mouths becomes not a mouth. Buffy and the gang suspect that good friend Amy must be behind it. She must be practicing witchcraft to survive her evil mom. Amy's mom, Catherine, was way into cheerleading when she was their age and is putting a lot of pressure on Amy to make the team. She ends up making third alternate. Sorry, Amy. Buffy gets first alternate. Things take a turn when Buffy gets really sick after joining the cheerleading squad. Giles and Buffy go to Amy's house during the school day to meet Catherine, and they learn that there is an extra freaky, scary, Freaky Friday situation happening. Amy has been Catherine the whole time. Giles does this big spell to undo the Freaky Friday situation, and then Catherine vanquishes herself by some tricky mirror thing that Buffy does. Amy is safe with her dad to be herself, and Buffy is happy to not be on the squad. And that's what you missed on Buffy.
Yay! I am really surprised that this episode came out in March and they didn't save it for like a Thanksgiving thing because they do a body swap.
I know. I was thinking the same thing.
There's a whole... I actually literally didn't clock that until you were talking about it. And I was like, this is literally a Freaky Friday episode.
No, I literally was so excited because I was like, oh my God, we love Freaky Friday.
I love a Freaky Friday. I think every show should have a Freaky Friday. I don't even care. Oh, I think
so
NCIS
awesome.
Should have a Freaky Friday. Every TV show needs a Freaky Friday.
NCIS? Oh, right. NCIS should have a Freaky Friday.
And
I have Freaky Friday several times.
And we have Freaky Friday several times, and we're better off for it.
Well, every Thanksgiving.
Every Thanksgiving.
I Freaky Friday with you. I Freaky Friday with my mom. I Freaky Friday with a bunch of people.
See, and this is a very unique Freaky Friday because in most Freaky Fridays, it's like you change bodies and you learn to respect each other more. And in this one, it's like you change bodies and you're like, no, my mom actually is the devil herself and we need to banish her to hell.
No, seriously.
You
oh
have
my
a
God.
Freaky Friday with someone and learn that actually your opinion of
you
them
right.
wasn't just correct, but wasn't strong enough.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's only happened to me once, but it was tough. It was really tough.
And then, of course, you banish them to hell afterwards.
And you have to.
And you have to.
You have to. You have to. Most of the time it's, you know, you learn to walk in each other's shoes and see each other in a different way. And see how hard you have to work, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, exactly.
Should we say where that joke comes from?
No. What that joke comes from is the long cultural tradition of people swapping bodies on Thanksgiving Day.
Is where that joke comes from.
It's a cultural, exactly. I mean, like, if you're an international listener, you know, you're not someone from a country that celebrates Thanksgiving. I understand how you wouldn't know that. But, like, if you are an American or even a Canadian, shout out, you may not do it in November, but your body's swapping in October.
You Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Exactly. You Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm thankful to have my body back. Wow, I can't believe this episode's a Freaky Friday.
You really don't want to let them. No, I mean, I don't know. We're filming this so far in advance. In my mind, I hope we find new peeps. But the Gleeks will know. So just wait for the Gleeks to tell you what's up.
We have always said, and by we, I mean probably just me.
Yeah.
That my dream for this bit is that people start associating Thanksgiving with body swapping.
No, girl, I genuinely do. And they don't remember why.
And they don't remember why. So that's the goal here. That's the goal.
Every Thanksgiving, I'm like, it's Freaky Friday Thanksgiving.
Exactly, it is.
Thanksgiving.
No, I do actually, when I think of the movie Freaky Friday, I am like, this feels like a Thanksgiving movie.
I know, we've convinced ourselves.
When is Freakier coming out? This is something we should talk about.
Not Thanksgiving. I think it's sometime this summer. Which is silly. I don't know why they wouldn't do Thanksgiving.
That's like, can you imagine they do like a sequel to Santa Claus is Coming to Town and it comes out in June? Like, what are you doing?
It's just silly.
It's about a holiday. Put it on the holiday. That's ridiculous. Well, Lena, what did you think of Freaky Friday, Buffy the Vampire Slayer edition?
I love this episode.
And hell yeah.
I love this episode. The cat jumping out of the box, I genuinely squealed. It was a very successful jump scare. I think the way they tell this story is so exciting. Didn't you get scared?
No.
No.
I guess you weren't as enraptured.
I didn't know it was going to happen then.
Hey, there's a lot. This episode has at least three different clips that are in the opening credits. Mm-hmm. Continue. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was just like enraptured by the episode. I had, you know, it was like, I loved the way they told the story. It was like very scary. I had no idea. I've watched this episode genuinely recently and I was like, what's going to happen next? I was scared. I think it's also just a very successful Monster of the Week episode. I think I love this episode. I had a lot of fun. I loved watching Giles put his little hands up and do witchcraft. I thought that was awesome. I loved it. I had such a fun time watching this episode. I literally almost cheered after the end episode was done. I was like, woohoo!
Hell yeah!
Did you not like it as much as I did?
No, I love this episode. I thought it was great.
Okay, good.
I'm having beef with Buffy in that every episode has been so strong that I'm like, what are we supposed to talk about? Can we write a stinker, please? And I mean, I know there are some stinkers. I remember them. Mm-hmm. But no, I loved this episode. And I do think the two-part pilot is like, I don't know, maybe stronger. But I think this episode, something that it does really well that the pilot is not doing is supernatural stuff happening in such like ordinary teenage situations.
Yes.
Them concocting a potion in their chemistry class. Like, I'm obsessed with that. That's so funny.
I know. Me too.
And, you know, the pilot has like Willow meets a really nice guy and he intends to harm her. It has like undertones of adolescent anxieties. This one is a little ham-fisted, but I love it. The whole, like, you know how parents sometimes vicariously live through their teenagers? What if they actually lived through their teenagers and they Freaky Friday'd them? I think the mother-daughter plot in this episode is so strong. And when I saw that it was written by a woman, I was like, and that checks out.
And that's it, yeah.
I love the parallels and the comparison is what I'm trying to say. The comparison between the Joyce Buffy dynamic and the Catherine Amy dynamic.
Oh my God, totally.
And I think that is a very common experience as a kid to see your friend's parents and be like, why don't my parents do that? Yeah. And like, I wish that my parents did this more. I had friends that I would be like, oh, their parents are like huge goofballs. And like, I wish my parents were a bit more of goofballs. Oh, or like, their parents let them watch all these kinds of movies. And I wish my parents let me watch all these kinds of movies. Or like, their parents seem to be getting all these opportunities for them. And I wish my parents did that. And then as an adult, I look back and I'm like, and I'm so glad I had the parents that I had and not the parents that they had. I just think it's such a good lesson for growing up of you're only seeing your perception of someone else's relationship, and then you're seeing the entirety of your own relationship. So it's easy to just see the good parts of theirs and just focus on the bad parts of yours. But ultimately, Amy's mom is so hands-on because it's an extremely toxic relationship where she's trying to relive her youth through her daughter. And yes, it's sometimes a bummer that Joyce is not more aware of Buffy's life, but like, she's trying her hardest and has a genuine interest and care for her daughter's well-being.
Yeah.
I think this episode's great.
I think this episode is so great. And you're so, that was like the big takeaway I had from this episode is like, a mother-daughter relationship, damn, that shit is complicated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's always, you know, you said it the best. Yeah, that was awesome. Retweet. I'm not gonna regurgitate what you said. You said it great.
And you can. You'll add your own perspective onto it.
Anyway, no, I genuinely like my favorite part of this episode to reveal my best part is after all of this, Buffy seeing her friend Amy getting all this support she perceives from her mom, but also then learning like at the cost that comes from, like at the cost of that, like that Amy is just in a really tough spot and has to like practice witchcraft to survive her mother. Like it's just really tough. And then,
well, yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I think you were about to say this, so continue.
Yeah, but then, like, coming to an understanding and then seeing her mom and asking her mom, like, would you, like, trade places with me? And then her mom being like, even if it would, like, help me understand you more, hell no. Like, no way. And Buffy being like, oh, thank God. Like, thank you so much. You don't know what you have just comforted me with. Because it's so, I mean, I have seen people in my life and young girls in my life who have really intense relationships with their moms, and they can never like live up to what their moms like want them to accomplish, and like the pain that comes with. And so this is such a good example of the thing that you mentioned, where it's like, this is a classic teen problem set to the occult and also magic. Like it's really fun experiment, and also really powerful as well. Like I was so excited when I saw that like Amy was like free from the situation and like free to live with her dad and eat what she wants and like be whoever she wants to be. Like that was such a satisfying half hour for me to watch that. Like, oh my God, that was so nice.
Yeah. I will fact check you.
Oh, what did I say?
Amy was not practicing witchcraft to survive her mom.
Amy well, that's wasn't, just what Buffy said.
Yeah, Amy wasn't practicing witchcraft, period. That was Catherine.
And I know, but that's what Buffy thought. That's what
I'm saying.
Because Buffy says, Amy has to practice witchcraft to survive her mom.
Yeah.
I know that that's not what's happening, but yes.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes, especially this first season of Buffy, when they don't have a million characters established and a million plot threads established, I think that's what makes this show so special. In no other TV show could you tell this very relatable teen storyline but then be like, let's take it to the next step where she's not living vicariously through her, she is
Freaky Friday
living as her. Like that's just so fun and silly and such a fresh and exciting way to tell this story.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about Catherine Madison, you're an awful woman, but also you are the diva of all divas. You are a bad mama chama. Woo-hoo! I'm literally obsessed with her.
No, seriously. And she was also a beauty queen. I was obsessed.
Gorgina. I was like, okay, Carla Gugino looking ass. Like, damn, she is hot.
I know.
My gosh.
No. I seriously was like, Catherine, if you weren't the devil, I'd take you
I'm
out.
I'm free on Friday night.
Exactly. I hate that you're abusing your daughter, but you're so hot.
But like, I am so, she, it is one thing to Freaky Friday with your child, but she is acting. Like the way that during the cheerleading tryouts, she is putting on a performance of, you know, she knows that Amy is a little bit shy and a little bit like isn't into this. So even though she's Carla Gugino diva on the inside, she's putting on this performance of like, oh, how do I hate this? Let me count the ways. I'm so shy. I don't want to be here. And love
character study.
Exactly. She had written a whole backstory for this character. So obsessed. Improv queen.
Yeah.
Also, love that Buffy catches her looking at a picture of herself in her normal body. And she's like, oh, hell yeah, here's a chance to tell this girl about why I'm the motherfucking icon of Sunnydale.
And no one has ever accomplished what she did ever again.
Like, she doesn't just say, like, oh, yeah, my mom was on the cheer squad and she was really great. She's like, she was on the cheer squad. She led them to victory. She was the best mother ever. She bought me everything I ever could have wanted. And she also never gained a single pound while doing it. Like, holy cow, this woman is obsessed with herself.
Oh my gosh, it's intense. It's really intense. And honestly, the show does such a good job at like revealing that to you that it hasn't been Amy the whole time. Oh my God. Like I said, I've watched this episode recently and I still was like, wow, I'm really falling for this.
I really wish I could watch it for the first time again because
it
is such a huge reveal that I've never, there's a lot of episodes of the show that I don't really remember, but Catherine Madison being the diva in Freaky Fridaying has been stuck in my head. I was gagged.
I know.
Was gagged.
Seriously. And then also like, the actress who plays Amy Catherine, Catherine Amy, you know, she does such a damn good job.
Are you talking about, I think we need, if we're talking,
about
the actor,
I'm talking about
Amy Body, Catherine Body. Yes.
Yeah. I'm talking about Amy Body.
Yes, I agree.
She does such a good job at like showing us what Amy might look like, because of course it's not Amy the entire time, but like we get a sense and then we hear from Willow, like, who Amy has been, like Amy's gone through a huge transformation recently and they had akin it to like a weight loss and like, you know, that her mom is being really intense with her. So we get that. We get that like she's different now, but we get like a sense of what she might be so that we do recognize it later in Catherine Body. It's very, very smart. And the actress does such a great job. She's like really freaked out by the cheerleader, like who loses her mouth. And like, you know, she is like on the top. But I also see that she's acting. Like several stories are within her. She does such a good job.
And that's why Catherine Madison is a diva icon. She knew she cast that spell and she knew Buffy is watching me, so I'm going to act gagged and gooped. And she successfully threw them off the scent.
Exactly. They're like, oh, it can't be her.
Catherine Madison, use this power for good. You could change the world.
You totally could.
Go to the Broadway.
But also the moment where she like falls off of the pyramid and she like turns her head really fast and like looks menacingly at the other cheerleaders. I'm like, oh my God.
I'm obsessed.
When she comes in with the axe. I was scared.
We have to talk about the axe. But I'm obsessed with the first reveal scene when Amy Body comes home. And then we see her act as Catherine for the first time. And she is such a witch with a B in front. And it's just exactly like you said. I think Elizabeth Ann Allen does such an incredible job. She pulls off that switch so well. She's fantastic. She's great.
Fantastic.
It's a very good performance.
a maze.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that she tries to axe murder Buffy.
I know, it's awesome. It's so scary.
Have you ever wanted to relive your glory days so bad that you were going to axe murder a teenage girl to do it? Like,
you know, I haven't, but heaven knows.
That's called being a woman with a goal. That's
God forbid a woman have goals.
See, CEO of achieving your dreams. She's going to axe murder someone. I think maybe my favorite Catherine moment in this episode is when she force chokes Xander.
Yes.
And then just clocks Willow. Like, no magic involved. Just it's punches awesome. Her in the face.
Oh my God. She's Catherine, amazing. You're crazy. Catherine. No, it's so intense.
Someone get her out of that figurine. So she has to come back. She has to come back.
She is an abuser, but God, she's a diva.
But God, she is such a boss at doing it.
I know. I wish she would use her powers for good.
Right? Oh my God.
CEO.
CEO of being an abusive mom and looking like a diva while doing it.
She is very beautiful. And I mean, this show, it has such a satisfying ending because genuinely she is really, you know, she has locked her daughter away, like in the house. She's not allowed to talk to anybody. She's not allowed to. Oh my God. It's really sad. And it has such a satisfying ending. And God, she is so terribly evil. She's a diva.
Obviously, it's all heightened, which I love.
Yeah.
But it's all also the type of things that sort of parent would say. Like, sure, yeah, that of sort course. Of parent probably wouldn't, like, axe murder someone. But her mm-hmm. saying stuff like, I gave you life and you're just going to sit around and waste it. Like, I know people
of course.
Who have parents that say that kind of stuff all the time. That's basically like, I gave up everything so that you could have a life. And, like, what am I getting out of it?
Yeah.
I just think it's a very... smartly written.
I agree. And to hear it's written by a woman it's not surprising. It's just such a fun way to tell the story. Because even it's not even like fully revealed to us what's actually happening until like closer to the end. So like the journey that we go on, but even still we know a little more than the Scoobies. Like it's very scary.
Oh yeah.
And
I want to talk about the Summers household.
Like, really well thought
out. I think...
it's really awesome.
As a this teenager...
this episode is so strong.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think I disliked Joyce, but I was very much like, I could take or leave Joyce. Is she my favorite character now? Like, seriously, oh, yeah. I'm totally obsessed with her. I just, like, it really...
No, I literally was like, Joyce, I would do so anything special. For
it's
you.
It's very much Bert and Kurt on Glee.
Yeah.
It's very special to me that their relationship feels real and that it's not this like dumb idealistic they're best friends. It's like they argue a lot. Joyce says stuff that is really hurtful sometimes. Buffy is like so exactly. not seeing where Joyce is coming from. But at the end of the day, they both love each other. And even though they are not seeing eye to eye, they are trying to like, respect and care for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And even moments like Joyce having that conversation where exactly. what she's trying to say to Buffy is she's worried about her because she got in so much trouble in the past and she's excited that she's pursuing an extracurricular activity and that she like thinks that's really great and exciting. And like, this is something you enjoy. That'll hopefully be a good thing for you. But she accidentally words it in a way that feels like she's antagonizing Buffy by being like, oh, you always get into trouble. And I love that moment of reflection that Joyce has where Buffy leaves and Joyce is like, wow, great parenting, Joyce. Yeah. I just, moments like that, I really, really love on this show.
Like, I screwed that up. Exactly. Yeah. Me too. I also, like, I love my mom very much, but the moment my mom comes to me and apologizes for something that happened, I'm like, okay, you're the best mom ever. Because I feel like sometimes, you know, I mean, of course, I'm not a parent, but I feel as though sometimes, you know, you want to guide your kid and you want them to like do their best. You don't want them to burn down gyms anymore. Like, what am I trying to say? I just really appreciate seeing a parent on TV say, I'm so sorry. Like, that is not what I meant. I love you. We're working through this. I'm still trying to understand you. You're an enigma to me. And I'm also going through this life with you and making mistakes just like you are.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that is so amazing. And to see that juxtaposed with Amy's mom, Catherine, it's to the point where Amy doesn't have agency over her life anymore. She can't even live it.
Mm-hmm.
She is locked in her house as her mom. She can't even live her own childhood anymore. It's just such a special thing to show these two relationships and to show that Buffy and Joyce aren't always getting it right, but they are coming to it with respect and with care and with love.
Yeah. And it's also interesting, you know, sometimes Joyce is not showing as much interest in Buffy's life as we would hope.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that they compare that with, but there is a world where a parent is showing too much interest in their child's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. And they also, you know, aren't excusing Joyce. Like, it sucks that Joyce didn't even know what Buffy was auditioning for because she was too distracted with other stuff. I just think it's all really well done.
Yeah.
Shout out, Joyce Summers. I love you forever.
I love you forever. I love you forever. Oh my God, I could literally cry.
Speaking of that scene, this is something I love about this show, and I wish more supernatural, superpowered media would do this. I love the moments when Buffy casually uses her Slayer powers.
I
love Joyce trying so hard to get that box open and then being like, could you lend me a hand? And Buffy just comes in with one hand, rips it open and moves on.
And Joyce doesn't
even
notice. Like, all the like nails are like pulled up as well. She's strong as fuck. Which leads me to think there's no way she couldn't have closed that door last week.
Oh no, totally. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh my God. I also love that the Slayer powers make her the only person who knows how to act in a crisis.
Like, what was that about? You're talking about
seriously
Human Torch.
I'm talking about
Flame
Hands, of course. Amber.
Flame Hands, Amber.
Flame Hands, Amber. Like, she's fully on fire, and it was like, oh my God, what do we do? And then Buffy has to move people out of the way and then tackle Amber to the ground. Like, this girl is 15, 16. She is a. Why is she shouldering this burden?
That was crazy to me because at no point did she use any of her superpowers.
No.
Like, all she...
she just is the only one who knows how to act in a crisis.
And I mean, I understand sometimes something scary happens and you freeze. But, like, no one ran to get help. Like, no one did...
There's not an adult in the room.
No one did anything. They just stood and stared. Buffy had to go rip a curtain off a wall. I don't know. I feel like it's pretty common sense that you can smother a fire. I think the students at Sunnydale High...
Stop, Amber. Jesus.
It's a good thing Buffy's there, because even if there weren't vampires and witches,
they
would still be a danger to themselves.
They should be so lucky.
They have no idea how to handle any sort of crisis. My word.
Buffy is so... amazing, and she's so sweet too. She's like holding Amber and she's like, it's gonna be okay, it's gonna be okay, you're okay.
She's a girl's girl.
Like, oh my God, yes. And even when she's talking to Catherine Body Amy,
mm-hmm.
and Amy spirit Catherine Body is like opening up to Buffy about what's happening, and Buffy is fully at death's door, sick as a dog, like mm-hmm. really going through it, and she still is like holding her hand and like listening to her and like holding that space for her. I'm like, Buffy, you are the best person alive. I love her so much. Jesus Christ.
And when the cheerleading list comes up and she and Amy didn't make it, and she's talking to Amy Body Catherine.
Yeah.
But she's talking to her and is, you know, Buffy also wanted to be a cheerleader.
Yes, she
did.
But
her number one concern in this moment is making sure that this girl
knows how important
is
it was
feeling
to
okay.
Amy.
Exactly.
Yes. And she's like, I know this thing that's important to you. Let's hang out. Like, come over to my house. We'll eat your favorite food.
Exactly. That's the other thing is she remembers. This is literally a Buffy fan cast. We're just talking about how she's the best girl ever.
Yes.
She remembers something that Willow told her about Amy. And so it's like, hey, let's hang out. I know you like brownies. Let's eat brownies this weekend instead. Yeah. She's the best.
She is the best.
However, how did she not make the cheer squad? I'm calling bull on this. She literally has superpowers.
Yeah.
And part of these superpowers is that she like does a bunch of flips. She didn't make the cheer squad. Also, she made the cheer squad at her old high school,
in Los Angeles.
Not to hate on Sunnydale, but they are constantly rubbing in our faces that it's a very small town with not a lot going on. So how was she good enough in LA, but not good enough in Sunnydale?
Hear me out. I don't know the answer to that question, but I appreciate that she doesn't make the cheer squad because it sends me the message she is as regular as can be. And I like that. But I hear where you're coming from, and I don't have an answer to that question. She didn't do any flips in the audition.
And why not? We didn't see her audition, did we? In the tryout. Well, it's called a tryout if it's not theater.
Well, no, I think individual tryouts got, postponed because
I don't think Amber we saw it. That's what I'm saying. I don't think we saw it.
Yeah. She just did the group portion.
Well, and she was fine in that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm calling bull.
It was a lawless land. There was no adults around. It was just one senior girl. Like,
who was running that squad with an iron fist.
I know. She was also a diva.
She has beautiful hair. A little Catherine Madison in the making.
Oh, yeah.
She really said, and in 20 years, I'm going to Freaky Friday with my daughter to relive when I was the ruthless dictator of the Sunnydale High Cheer
History
Squad.
History always repeats itself. It does. I'm telling you.
Dang. There was also an insane amount of acro at that cheerleading tryout. And I saw the routine they were doing at the basketball game. No acro in sight. So what was that about? There's that girl. She was like a circus performer walking on her hands in the splits. Why'd she need to be doing all that? All they did was raise their arms and spell some words. Goodness sakes. It was insane.
I hear you. That dance they did do, though, at like rehearsals and then they did on the sidelines, I was like, okay, this is cute. The choreographer they got is like, this is cute. Yeah.
Us saying that they're auditioning to be on the cheerleading team and that they're going to rehearsals. Can you tell that we didn't do sports and we did theater?
Sorry.
And when they went on and they did a number at intermission too of the basketball game, they did a great job.
It's just so funny. I mean, it's all the same thing, but we just have such opposite words for it. It doesn't compute to me.
On the other side of the coin,
yeah,
it's like when people are going to rehearsal for a show and they say they're going to play practice.
I love saying play practice.
Play practice.
I still like to say that.
I mean, as a kid, we called it play practice.
Of course.
Because we were in a red state.
We're putting on a play.
And in a red state, it's play practice. In a blue state, maybe you're going to rehearsal. Here in a red state, it's play practice, and I'm going to use the bathroom during halftime of the show.
Exactly. Sorry, guys. I can't help where I was raised.
What next? We can talk about Zillow, which is what I decided to call the Xander Willow plotline.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
My favorite Xander Willow moment is obviously when Xander gets force choked.
No, the force choking is fine. It is the full fist punch. That's my favorite moment.
That's so awesome.
It's crazy. Why didn't you just force choke them both?
Willow coming up to the body, Amy being like, I can help you with your spells. And like fully, like she does not know how to be covert at all. She is so nervous. And then I also love both of them coming in after Buffy has saved the day. Buffy and Giles have really like killed this. And both of them at different times coming in with like sticks and weapons to like kick ass. I'm like, oh, you poor things. Good for you. I love that.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. We also have lots of Xander pining for Buffy this episode.
Yes, this is the establishment of our central love triangle, which is Xander loves Buffy, Willow loves Xander.
Yeah. And Buffy loves slaying.
And Buffy loves to slay.
Buffy loves to slay.
I don't dislike this. I just, as you know,
I don't am either.
Not a love triangle boy. I don't. They're not what I'm watching a show for ever.
Yeah.
So I like, frankly, don't care who any of them ends up with. I'm like, there's literally someone is Freaky Friday-ing their daughter. There's bigger fish to fucking
like,
fry.
What I care. And you're just like Buffy for that because Buffy doesn't
exactly.
care.
I'm here to slay. Uh-huh. I'm not here to go on a date with you, Alexander Harris. And Willow, get over it. Maybe take a look inward before you commit to Xander.
And that's, Willow, please look inward.
And that's all I'll say about that.
Hey, sometimes it takes time.
Sometimes it takes time.
And I hear that and I honor her journey. It does also speak to, I feel like this is like boy-girl friendships are always difficult.
Yes.
And I feel like, you know, this speaks to a high school experience and I don't mind seeing it. I'm a big romantic, so I'm always thinking about.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking about the love triangle of it all. But I do agree. I love that Buffy is like, she doesn't even notice. Xander literally gives her a bracelet that says like, yours always or something. What does it say?
Something
devoted, something intense.
Yeah. It says, I, Alexander Harris, am deeply in love with you, Buffy Summers. And he's like, they all just came like that. I don't know. Is anyone's guess?
And then the moment of Buffy being like high under a spell and being like, oh, Xander, I love you. I can trust you. And you're just like one of the girls, like mm-hmm. in the devastation that Xander feels about that. I think I have noticed that in people in life and it doesn't
it's good. I just like, yes. It's never been my thing.
There's a Freaky Friday thing happening.
But I'm not going to say, and also I think, at least in my memory, why love triangles bother me so much is I feel like on the TV shows they are on, they take up so much plot relevance where I'm like, are we insane? We're on a deserted island and God himself is here and is trying to kill us. Lost. Like, Lost. Why do we care so much about who Kate is going to kiss? But in my memory in Buffy,
who Kate is going to kiss.
In my memory of Buffy, the love triangle aspect continues to play out, but I feel like it's never overshadowing the other stuff. And
yes,
so like,
no,
I don't actually
it's
have
definitely
a complaint.
Not happening
I don't
either.
Have a complaint with it. And I was a teenager once. I have been in those situations where your friend has a crush on you and you don't feel the same way, and you have a crush on your friend and they don't feel the same way. And it's like a weird, awkward, like, it's one thing to have a crush.
It's just like Kimberly Akimbo.
Exactly. Gay, straight. But it's one thing to have a crush on like your classmate who you're like, oh my gosh, they looked at me. I'm blushing. It is completely different to be like, I have an established friendship with this person.
Yeah.
And what is that line where I want us to be something more, but then I also don't want to ruin the friendship and I don't want to make them uncomfortable. And then also I have an established friendship with this person and I can tell that they have feelings for me, but I don't feel the same way. And what is that line? And should I address it? How do I discourage it? I've lived all of those experiences. They're all very high school, and I think they should be in this TV show.
Yes.
Doesn't mean I'm, like, chomping at the bit to see them, but they should be present.
I hear you. Oh, God, being a teenager is so crazy. I feel like I'm still in love triangles today. Just kidding.
Hell yeah. With who?
Well, you and me were in a love triangle once.
That's true. We did date.
Who's the other person we were in a love triangle with? I can't remember their
name.
Matt Bomer, yeah. It was like a Matt Bomer loved you thing, you loved me thing, I loved Matt Bomer thing.
Yes.
It was crazy.
And he was like, I'm gay. Yes. And I was like, I'm still straight for a few more years.
Oh, did you see they redid the festival housing?
Yes, I did. And I said, Matt Bomer did not have sex in that apartment for you to
sad.
Completely wipe it out.
I was
so
sad.
For anyone just joining us.
I lived in those apartments for years.
I know.
I was sad to see it, but I'm excited.
And those old apartments should have been condemned, but also they had so much spirit and they had so much story.
Oh, I loved them.
So Lena and I worked at a theater for a few summers that the company housing like had not been touched since the 80s. And we know that Matt Bomer worked there in the past. Mm-hmm. And we also know that Matt Bomer was living in those apartments and dating someone that we know. Mm-hmm. And so we had a running joke every apartment we went in that we'd be like, do you think that Matt Bomer and Redacted had sex in this apartment? And they recently gutted the apartments and remodeled them.
Yeah.
So now Matt Bomer's sperm is gone.
Gone.
It's gone.
It's probably
he has such
best.
Handsome sperm too.
I know.
Girl. Devastating.
The thing was, the couches were, I'm telling you guys, disgusting. They were like built into
horrific.
The walls. And like they had
they were
this,
like church pews too.
They were like church pews. They were built into the walls and they had these like terrible cushions that were so scratchy. Oh my gosh. And they would totally, they soak up sperm like crazy.
Yeah. We know from experience because we were dating at the time.
We were.
And that was our Buffy Xander Willow situation.
Exactly.
That was a real Buffy Xander Willow.
We're past that, though.
We're adults. We're past that. We're adults now.
And now we can host our podcast in peace.
Yeah. I mean, we had to cut Matt Bomer out. We couldn't resolve
that
relationship.
Was messy. That
he was
messy.
Too obsessed. He was too obsessed.
And he was like, you and I were friends before.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a relationship built off. With Matt, it was just about sex, you know? And then it's like, if the sex is gone, what is the relationship based on? Nothing. We had nothing
with
in
Matt,
common.
It was just like, were we having threesomes?
I don't know. I blocked it out. Oh, crazy.
No, it was such a crazy time, you know, when we were going crazy. It's
we were
okay.
Going crazy. It's called being young. It's called living
young.
Your life. It's called enjoying your youth. Sorry that I'm 30 years old and I can't live like this anymore. Okay?
God forbid a girl grows up.
God forbid I be young, dumb, and full of a spirit of adventure and wanting to try new things.
We've been well, so nasty on this podcast.
Buffy really brings it out of us.
Which is so funny.
All right. I do need to use the bathroom, okay, so should we take a break?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. And when we come back, I will be switching where I'm recording from because my computer is about to die.
Oh my gosh.
Slay.
Slay.
So, something I want to, how do I want to phrase this? How do I want to get into this? I have like a thought that I want to share,
okay,
but I felt like I had to lead up to the thought. And now I think this moment of vulnerability I'm having is good enough lead up as any, which
okay.
is, I think it's hilarious that Cordelia Chase, known Willow Rosenberg hater,
yeah,
walks up to Willow during the cheerleading tryouts to talk smack about Amber.
Yeah.
The one thing that is stronger than her hate for Willow Rosenberg is
her
love
for
to shit
for
talk
talking
other
shit.
People.
Exactly.
It's like gossiping is sisterhood to her. She will gossip with anyone.
And that's the thing that I love so much about her. Nothing brings people together like a common enemy.
Yeah.
And she'll make a common enemy out of anybody.
Flaming Amber.
Anybody. Flaming Amber.
Flaming Amber. Hey.
I love that. I also love when Body Amy like hits Cordelia in the, what are they doing? A cartwheel. Uh-huh. And she's like, you saw that wasn't my fault. I was doing great. That wasn't my fault. I was doing great.
I have a question about what the spell was that Cordelia was under. Because Miss Girl in chemistry, very clearly, like, she didn't have a mouth. She had no mouth.
Yes.
That's very obvious. And Cordelia obviously becomes blind. That is the end result. But what was going on where she was like sleepwalking? But then she was sleepwalking, which led me to believe, oh, she's fully out of it. She's like a puppet right now.
Yeah.
But then when she's driving the car, she has the wherewithal to be screaming and be emotional.
Yeah.
So then that felt like she wasn't sleepwalking. I was confused as to what the steps of that spell are.
That's a good question. I'm not sure, but I mean, what we know, at least from Buffy's experience, is that it was one thing and then became something like kind of opposite. And I don't know what that means for Cordelia, like sleepwalking and then losing her vision. I'm not sure. But it was kind of a two-parter with Buffy.
Yeah. Buffy's was, it was a blood spell that when it hits you, it is as if you've taken, because it's poison. So it's the same thing that alcohol does, which is poison, which is it makes you feel drunk. So like she just got mass poisoned and she felt really drunk. And then when the drunkenness faded away, she suddenly got the world's worst hangover that was going to kill her.
Yeah, I've been there.
But hey, but with Cordy, she started lethargic. And then was it like a mental blindness that then shifted to her eyes?
Yeah, maybe it was so like she was like losing sense of the world.
Yeah, and then it like ended up being sucking like concentrating. Away.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'll have to call up Catherine Madison. I got to get that cheerleading trophy and say, hey, got a question
for you.
What did
you do, girl? What did you do?
Because
also, when girl in science class, her mouth became not a mouth.
Of course.
What would the two-parter be there? Like, maybe she, like, couldn't talk all day?
See, that's what's confusing, is there didn't seem to be a two-parter.
But, I mean, we don't... That we was just quick out and with dirty. Her. We don't know.
True. I'm not really friends with her. I haven't been following what she's been doing all day.
I know. What's she up to?
I don't know.
I gotta keep up with her more.
Maybe she, like, couldn't taste anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah. She kept being like, the lunch today is so bland. And everyone was like, what are you talking about? It's the most delicious lunch we've ever had in the history of the school.
Yeah, literally.
And then they went, oh, you need to go to the hospital. Your mouth's about to become not a mouth. This happened to my friend
Sheila.
No.
When her mouth became not a mouth, what do you think? What happened? I'm sure it was reversed, but like, did they like send her to the hospital? Like what happened?
Yeah, so she went to the hospital and they pulled out a scalpel. And they just cut her a new mouth. They said, I know your mouth cavity is still in there. So I'm going to...
I see you.
Yeah. So she's got a okay. Dark Knight Joker situation going on now.
I hear that. Hey.
Yeah.
I'm glad she has a mouth. But I mean, if the spell was reversed, I mean, did they reverse all the spells? No, they probably did. Yes.
They Giles does mention that he's reversing all the spells.
And he was like... What does he say? He like puts his hands up. I was like, Oh my God, Giles, you're everything to me.
He says something about like sending them to Galal.
She's like, release!
And some other made up god. Yeah.
It's awesome. I was like, oh my God, Giles, you're kind of a witch. It's awesome. And then he says it's his first time like casting spells. I was like, wait, Giles, I think you've got a knack for this king.
Well, seriously, maybe study this. You could be a warlock, baby. Good for you.
It was awesome. Good for you. I love Giles. I loved Giles so much in this episode. Like, he was just a sweetie to me. Like, him carrying Buffy around and being so concerned. I was like, oh, wait. I love you, Giles. I would do anything for you.
I was thinking that watching this episode, Buffy does a very good job of having this male authority figure be constantly hanging out with his teenagers. And at least in my memory, it never being creepy.
No, I don't think so.
And I think part of the reason is that he gets annoyed with them so frequently.
Yes.
And so it's like, okay, nothing suspicious is going on here.
He's giving father figure to them.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. It strictly comes across as paternal.
Yes.
And nothing like weird or too much.
Yes.
Because it is insane that like, I mean, in the future of the show, there are like other adults that come into Giles's life. But mainly he is exclusively around these teenagers. But I always feel safe with him, and I'm a big Giles fan.
Me too.
I love you, Giles.
I so agree. And that's something, it doesn't even like ever cross my mind. Like, oh my God, Giles, you're coming in to save the day. And also, you're so right. He is so annoyed with these kids.
And I honestly think that's a big reason it works.
Yes. He's like, oh my God, we're doomed. Like, these kids are driving me crazy.
He's like, Buffy.
This is the team I have, I guess.
You literally have so much responsibility to save the world. You cannot be a cheerleader. You've got to be kidding me.
The reveal of him being like, I cannot believe you are putting the world in jeopardy.
You are joining a cult.
Yes. And then she's like, wait, you don't like the color? That is oh my God. So damn funny. You're telling me you didn't squeal at the cat jump scare?
No, I'm so sorry. I wish
I
had.
I know.
You know what I did squeal at? Diva mother Catherine Madison getting blasted by her own spell and turning white and putting her arms up, because that's my favorite part of the opening credits. And I was like, and there she is. And if she could only be in this episode, I'm glad that she's in every episode of the season through those opening credits. I love, and it does the like,
oh my God,
as she's getting blown back in the opening credits. Some stray observations. The cheerleading tryouts at the beginning. It says, welcome to the 1996 cheerleading tryout, which means that Buffy is a period piece. it is taking place the year prior to when it aired. When Body Amy is staring at a picture of Catherine when she was in high school, and Buffy walks up, and Body Amy is like, "That's a picture of my mom in high school. She was the head of the cheerleading squad." Buffy's response is in like the most just like white teenage girl way, "Get down with your bad self." And I remember one of the friends in high school that I tried to get to watch Buffy, one of the ones that I was unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. She sent me a video of that scene and was like, "Is this show for real?" Like, she was so just like, "What on earth?"
What? I love that.
Get down with your bad self.
Get down with your bad self.
Oh, and then my final thought is driver's ed in school.
Yeah.
Is very much like the rope climb in gym to me, where I'm like, does this happen?
What?
Did you have driver's ed in school?
Yeah.
I did not. And I, no one that I knew did.
When did you do driver's ed?
I didn't.
Who taught you to drive?
My
you
dad.
You didn't have a class? No, you're kidding. You didn't do driver's ed? I'm serious.
I did not do driver's ed.
No way.
I'm completely serious.
How did you learn the laws?
I studied a manual. And then I had to take a written test to get my permit.
No way, Jose.
The first person to teach me to drive was a senior at my school. We were at a cast party. And she said, "Do you want to drive my car?"
Lord, don't tell me that.
We just drove it around a parking lot. But that is when I first drove. But no, I like had a manual that I had to read to learn the laws. And then I went to the DMV and I took, it wasn't written with pencil, but I took a test on a computer. And then they're like, "Great, you have a learner's permit. You have to log this many hours of driving in the next 6 months with a person, with a licensed driver." And then I came back in 6 months and I got behind the wheel with a dude and I drove around and parked and did all that stuff and got my license.
Okay.
We did not have to. I mean, maybe driver's ed existed, but it was not at school.
Interesting.
It was like some other, it was not like during the school day, a class that you took. Maybe it was an after school thing that I never heard about. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, we definitely had it during school. I ended up taking it. I knew people who took it in school. I took it during the summertime just because that is when it made sense for me to take it with how old I was and my permit and everything. So I got my permit first and then I took the class and it was like, I don't know, a couple weeks. And then we went driving as a group. Like I went with people in my neighborhood, like during this course. And it was a school course. It was like a teacher who was doing it with me. And then he signed off on giving me my license. And then I could take that to the DMV and then get my license.
Well, heck yeah. Get down with your bad self.
Get down with your bad self. That's so interesting.
I learn something new every day. I didn't realize that driver's ed was incredibly normal for everyone.
Yeah, very normal. My school like, had a bunch of cars that were like people would donate for driver's ed.
Dang. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the Vavitch. Shout out. Next week, we are doing listener thoughts. So if you got listener thoughts, send them. recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Next week's episode will just be dedicated to that woo-woo. I was going to say shout out again, and I said, enough's enough. We have to stop saying it.
Yeah, I was getting annoyed.
You were like, and that's one too many. I'm quitting. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be talking about episode 4, Teacher's Pet. I want to be teacher's pet. Okay, so tune in. Send us an email, recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Join our Patreon if you would like, patreon.com/recoveringgleek. Follow us on Instagram, rgpresents_podcast. Follow us on TikTok. Either recoveringgleek_podcast or rgpresents_podcast. If we can change it, I still haven't checked. Hey, it's Ian from the future. As part of our Patreon, we'd like to give our best friends of the podcast a special little shout out at the end of our episode. So I'm going to be doing that now. I remain in my messing around on GarageBand bag. So I did throw another little song together. Can't promise that this will be a normal thing. But for now, we got another one. And fair warning, this one is much harder to sing along to.
So I'm gonna do my best, and it might be a train wreck. A big special Patreon thank you to
Joe, Olivia, Morgs, Wishby, Ida, Jack, Hannah, Karis, Elizabeth, Depressed, Bubbles, Deedon, Dono, 5, Nikki, Cowboy, Hat, Emoji, Brianna, JP, Tanya, Catherine, Shannon, Rachel, Haley, Drew, Christine, Kayleen, Blake, Rachel, Allison, Emily, Megan, Audrey, Megan, Alexandra, Kylie, Dustin, Naza, Jaden, Paul, Vicky, Keely, Jasmine, Sophia, Wild, Donica, Charlene, Diagonal, Toast, Mary Kay, Spare a Squid, 103, Reagan, Pee Pee, Poo Poo, Josette, Lo, Madeline, Olani, Alice, Blanton, Alice, Nadia, Fadia, Nicole, Caitlin, Abby, Kristen, Story, Eileen, Mallory, Amanda, Rebecca, Jake, Ari, Riley, Marissa, Taylor, Carlin, Frankie, Margaret, Espina, Emily, Han, Phoebe, Aria, Ava, Haley, Emily, Michelle, Jacqueline, Lazarea, Emma, Sam, Marbury, Steph, Mother, Baby, Cat, Charlie, Kelsey, Thomas, Chucho, Brittany, Kenzie, Michael, Katie, Elizabeth, Freddie, Allison.
Went a little bit over, so Allison got a solo moment. Shout out to her, our first ever patron. Thanks for being best friends of the podcast. Back to your regularly scheduled programming. Bye.
Thanks for being here.
Love you guys. Thanks for being here. I hope you're enjoying the Buffy journey that we're going on. We'll see you next week for your thoughts. Here is a Jorge kiss if you accept it.
Woo.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening. Follow us at recoveringgleek_podcast. Email us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/recoveringgleek. Rate and review us and tell your friends, please. All right, we got Eileen on the mic. Story of the day I was born. Yeah. Okay, I think I should give an edited version of that because that was much love. So long.
Eileen, you've got the gift of gab. I love that.
She's got the gift of the gab. She's a storyteller. So
she wants the background. You have to understand the whole story. I love it.
She said, I'm taking a note out of Buffy's book. I'm building a world here.
I love it.
A world. Mm-hmm. You're going to get information on all the side characters as well. But long and short of it was my mom had bad experiences with the doctors who delivered the two siblings before me. Mm-hmm. They didn't believe her of how fast she went into labor. So they didn't give her epidurals in time, and so she had to give natural births when she didn't want to, stuff like that. So she got a new doctor who was a lady, mm-hmm. who actually paid attention to what my mom said and believed her, and I was supposed to be induced, and so they induced my mom, and she still wasn't going into labor, and so she had to walk around the hospital a bunch to try and induce labor, and it still wasn't working, and then she started having contractions. And they put her on a Pitocin drip and gave her an epidural. Shout out. And within 45 minutes of putting her on the Pitocin drip, I was born. Because Woo-hoo! As she said, her labor is incredibly fast. They put her on the drip and one of the nurses, my mom was like going into labor. And one of the nurses called the doctor and was like, you need to get here right now. And the doctor was like, that's impossible. She just started. And the nurse was like, you need to get here right now. And the doctor pulled up. And within 15 minutes, I was out and had been born.
And your dad being like, yeah, we're going to have to pay them for the whole thing.
He's like, we had to pay her all this money. She had to live here for 15 minutes. And then the other stick in my dad's craw is that the insurance is going to pay for 3 days in the hospital for my parents. They're supposed to get a great big dinner. But a pediatrician saw me and was like, he hasn't peed. It was the next day. And they were like, he hasn't peed yet. I don't think there's an opening in his penis. I have made an appointment with the urologist. You have to go stat. This is a health hazard. And my dad didn't believe the pediatrician. And he was like, that's literally impossible. He would not have made it this far if that was the case. But the appointment was made.
Amniotic fluid is pee.
Exactly. They made the appointment was already made. So they had to leave the hospital. On day 2, they missed the entire dinner. my mother, having freshly birthed me, is having to like walk around with me to this urologist. I poop down her front. Shout out, diva move from me. They go to the urologist.
That is not surprising.
The urologist echoes what my dad said, where he's like, that's literally insane. He's like, I'll still check because you're here, but like, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And he said, the only way for me to check is to put a catheter in. And my mom said it was very clear that he did not want to do it. But it was like, this is what I'm being hired to do. Mm-hmm. And so, shout out, I'm a real one. Less than a day old.
And you were born with a urethra.
I had a catheter in and I did have a urethra. And that pediatrician was full of shit. So I entered this world being genitally traumatized. And I intend to leave it the same way. Book ends.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. And he was born with a hole in his penis.
Ow!